Thank you for welcoming. We're going to start. Today we are studying chapter 17. 15 was the jivas conditional. Who are the jivas and how they came to conditional life? Chapter 16 was elaborating that idea that how jivas suffers, why suffers. And this chapter is going to explain how to get out of suffering. Make sense? Who you are, that's chapter 15. Why you are suffering, chapter 16. How you will get out of suffering, chapter 17.
Oh.
You want to relax, you want to be old man. First you become young, then the body. Chapter 17, Eternal Religion, Relationship, Sambandha, Avideya, how to get it, what to get it, and Prayojan, the goal, love of God. The soul's complete free, or soul's free from Maya's prison. We are, just imagine we are in a prison house, today we will find out how to get out of it. Sounds very exciting. If you are feeling pain, then you will be excited. But if you become too long inmate, then you may not feel excited. Because in the jail, too long, if you stay there, you like it, start liking it. Even the jail is not a good place.
Okay. The grandmother had already made arrangements for Rajanath's marriage. That night she told Rajanath all about it. Not giving any reply, Rajanath took his meal and went to bed. Again and again, thinking about the pure spirit soul, he fell asleep late at night. The old grandmother kept thinking, how can I make Rajanath agree to the marriage? At that time, Rajanath's cousin, Vani Madhava, arrived. The girl in the proposed marriage was Vani Madhava's cousin. Vijay Vidyaratna had sent Vani Madhava to complete the arrangements for the marriage. Vani Madhava said, oh great aunt, why is there a delay? Please, quickly make arrangements for Rajanath's marriage. Rajanath's grandmother lamented, brother, you are very expert. You convince Rajanath to agree to the marriage. I told him about it, but Rajanath will not reply. Vani Madhava was short, with a short neck, dark complexion, and blinking eyes. He started many things, but he did not bring any of them to completion. Hearing the old lady's words, he said, nothing can stop me. If you command me, what can I not do? Do you know how expert I am? I can multiply a single coin into a great sum. Well, I'll talk to Rajanath. Will you not cook for a feast if I succeed? The grandmother replied, Rajanath went to bed right after his meal.
Hearing this, Vani Madhava said, tomorrow I will come and take up the task, and left. The next morning came. Rajanath was sitting outside the shrine to Goddess Durga. Seeing Vani Madhava, Rajanath said, brother, why have you come? Vani Madhava replied, oh, noble brother, for many days you studied and taught the Nyaya Shastra. You are the son of Karnak Chudamani. Your name is famous in every country. However, you are the only male in the family. If there are no descendants, how can the family continue? Brother, that is why we all request you, please get married. Rajanath replied, brother, why do you agitate me for no reason? I have taken shelter of Lord Kaurasunya's devotees. Why would I want to marry? when I stay near the Vaishnavas of Sri Mayapur, I become filled with happiness. I do not think worldly life is good. I will take sannyas. I will take shelter of the Vaishnavas' feet. I tell you this confidentially. Please do not reveal it to anyone. Seeing Vrajanath's state of mind, Bani Madhava thought, this will not be an easy path to tread. I will have to trick him. Cunningly, concealing what was in his heart, Bani Madhava said, I have always helped you. When you were a student, I carried your books. When you take sannyas, I will carry your danda and water pot. Cheaters speak with a forked tongue. To one person, they say one thing, and to another person, they say something different. In this way, they make trouble. From what they say, it is not at once seen what is really in their hearts. Honey sits on their mouths and poison in their hearts. Hearing Bani Madhava's sweet words, Rajan said, Brother, I know that for many days you have been my true friend. My grandmother is an old lady. She does not understand anything that is very deep. She wants to push me together with this girl and throw me into the hell of household life. If you can stop her, I will be forever indebted to you. Bani Madhava said, Rest easy. No one will do anything against your wishes. Friend, tell me one thing with an open heart, so I will know how to help you. I wish to know, why do you hate the idea of getting married? Who taught you to become a nun?
Rajanath told Bani Madhava all about how he had become renounced. He also said, Elderly Raghunath Das Babaji in Mayapur is my teacher. Every evening I go to him. He has extinguished the blazing fire of my materialism. He has been very kind to me. Fashioning a sinister plot in his mind, Bani Madhava thought, Now I have found his weak point. Now I will construct an expert stratagem. I will turn his weakness against him. Then he said aloud, Brother, in all secret I will change your grandmother's mind, but for now I will go home. After speaking these words, he first went home, and then, by a side road, he quickly went to the entrance of Sri Vasa's courtyard in Sri Mayapur. Sitting under the Bakula tree, he thought, These Vaishnavas are plundering all the good things in the world for their own enjoyment. What beautiful homes, what a pleasant garden, what a graceful courtyard, what a beautiful place. One by one, they sit in their bhajana kutirs. The Vaishnavas sit and chant on japa beads. They are like the bulls of religion. They are free of all cares. After bathing in the Ganges, the respectable ladies of the neighborhood bring them gifts of water, fruit, and various kinds of food. The Brahmins used to get gifts like that for performing Karmakanda rituals. Nowadays, these Babajis enjoy them. O fortunate age of Kali! He says that he is a devotee of Ramachandra, but in truth he is a devotee of Kali Yuga. Now I understand what that old saying means. Alas, I am born in a Brahmin's family in vain. Nowadays, no one gives us fruit. No one gives even water. The Vaishnav says that the followers of Nyaya are fools for taking so much about clay pots, for talking so much about clay pots and scraps of cloth. I think they are right, at least about Rajanath. Now he has fallen into the hands of these wicked people wearing only loincloths. I am Bani Madhava. I will straighten out my friend. I will straighten out these wicked Vaishnavas too.
Thinking in this way, he entered one of the cottages. By chance, he had entered the cottage of a saintly Raghunath Das Babaji, who was sitting down and chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. A person's nature is easily seen on his face. When the elderly Babaji looked, he saw that Kali Yuga personified stood before him in the form of a Brahman son. Vaishnavas naturally think themselves very lowly and fallen. When enemies torment them, they are patient and tolerant. They wish good for all. They don't require that others honor them, although they give honor to everyone else. That is why saintly Raghunath Das Babaji gave all respect to his guest and politely offered him a place to sit. Bani Madhava was very emphatically not a Vaishnava. He did not understand the proper etiquette of how to approach a Vaishnava. Thinking the elderly Babaji to be a sudra, he gave a blessing to him. The saintly Babaji asked him, "Baba, what is your name? My boy, why have you come here?" When the elderly Babaji used the words to me, "You, the young boy, and Ami, I, the respectable gentleman," Vani Madhava became angry, speaking crookedly. Vani Madhava said, "Babaji, do you think by wearing a loincloth, you are now equal to the Brahmanas?" Well, it must be. There is one thing. I, a respectable gentleman, would like to ask you, O young boy, do you know of Vrajanath Panchananda? Babaji, please
Panchana,
begin. Babaji, please forgive my offense. Please do not find fault with an old man's words. Vrajanath kindly comes here sometimes. Vani Madhava, he is not an honest man. He will be humble and polite for 2 or 4 days. That is how he will bring you under his control. Then he will be able to make you do what he likes. Seeing the way you act, the Bhattacharyas of Palapukara have become your bitter enemies. Consulting among themselves, they have sent Vrajanath to you. You are an old man. You should take care. From time to time, I will come and tell you of their plot. Don't tell anyone about me. If you tell them, it will not be good for you. Now I must go.
Can somebody summarize what we understood so far? The whole story. Go ahead. You know nothing.
Vani Madhava is trying to trick Vrajanath.
Give from the beginning.
Rajanath's grandmother has arranged a marriage for him, and he having
why,
an association...
Why did she arrange a marriage?
Because...
That's normal. They think.
Yeah, because it's normal and it's advancement in material life, and that's what most people are after. But Rajanath has had the association of Raghunath Das Babaji, and he therefore has lost his attachment to material life. Rajanath's grandmother has seen this in his reaction to her telling him about the marriage. And so she wonders how she can get Rajanath to accept the marriage proposal. Knowing that she can't do it herself, she has gone to Vani Madhava, her Rajanath's cousin, to ask him to convince Rajanath to get married. Vani Madhava goes to talk to Rajanath.
This is very important. We should pay attention that. I remember one time Subhadra Radhanath Maharaj asked this question on a Sunday feast in Bombay to all these Hindu visitors. So that's normal. Even amongst us, sometimes we think like this. If my children, my family, they all have a good job, good income, good car, good whatever, the material facility, and once in a while they come to temple, it's fine. Everything is wonderful. But Krishna consciousness is not that. Krishna consciousness is our lifestyle. It is our eternal function. To have a good facility in this material world is the bodily comfort, nothing to do with the soul. It's a big difference. We are not denying the material facility. We want material facility because everything belongs to Krishna. But material facility, if somebody has, and this is normal, everybody thinks, even amongst us. But if you have a good job, good house, good marriage, good everything, then you're fine. Once in a while you come, once in a while you chant. It's not your everyday, but is there a day you don't eat? So Krishna's chanting Krishna's name should be like that. Just like you feel pressure to eat every day, you feel pressure to go to bathroom, bodily need, oh sure, you get up from morning, you get up from the bed, first thing you do, you listen to your body, Body said, take me to toilet. See if you challenge with the body. You literally obey yourself as a body. But what about the soul? That's why Prabhupada said you do five things. First thing you get up from the bed, you bow down. But if somebody is healthy and, you know, listening, doing bodily things, people think it's okay. That's not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is eternal function. Until you become Krishna consciousness, there's no way we'll get out. This is the beginning of this chapter. The story is narrating. Why this story is narrating here? Because it's giving us like a normal world versus what Krishna consciousness is so superior to this material conception. We do things anyway we do. You eat every day. But if you offer the food to Krishna and eat, then you become liberated. Today this discussion will start. We do every day things we do anyway. We drive, we eat, we sleep, we do all these things. But we do those for the body. But you have to learn, today we are going to learn the art. How we are, all the activities that we do, how we can dovetail into Krishna consciousness, where that same hard labor will turn into unlimited opulence, gold. Hard labor will become the most nourishable if we adapt in Krishna consciousness. So, grandmother says, okay, he should get married. But she's not thinking going to the Vaishnava is a great thing. Is she thinking? You're hanging around with the Vaishnava, Hare Krishna, you're chanting. That's the karmi, they also follow Veda. The karmis will give important, but not as much. If you're getting a first class in the school or you're getting a good job with a lot of money, even though you don't chant, it's all right. That is not all right. That should not be all right. We have to have a strong faith that Krishna will always maintain us. Srila Prabhupada says, if you cannot follow all the rules, regulations, if you cannot chant, then mold your life such a way that you can get time to chant and do all these things. We don't need to become so rich or so many, having so much facility. How long will we be alive in this world? If the soul is fed, well nourished, by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and engage in devotional service, then possible, otherwise not. So this idea, this story is narrating very nice. But you don't see that they're giving the family, they're not giving importance the sadhu sangha. The most important thing. Okay, continue. What are you saying?
The grandmother has asked Vani Madhava to convince Rajanath to accept the marriage.
Okay, so far what did you understand on Vani Madhava?
The whole story, he's pretty crooked.
Just give his character short.
He's very crooked. He's a duplicitous person, and he thinks very highly of himself. He's very, very entrenched in his false ego. You know, he thinks he can do anything. He has the doer mentality, and he also has no idea about spiritual life because he's very envious of the Vaishnavas.
Okay, now hold on to this. Who is Vani Madhava in the beginning? He's a Brahmana. Who is Brahmana? There are two types of living entity in this world property. One is conscious of God and one is unconscious of God. Ignorant. Those who are ignorant, the highest platform for those ignorant are the Brahmanas. How to understand this? The Brahmanas are two types. In Jaiva Dharma it explained, Brahmanas are two types. One is called Sabhav Siddha and Jato Siddha. Those who are born, we should remember, those who are born in a Brahmana family, the Hindus or majority world will accept them as the Brahmana or priest. In one angle, are they wrong or right? They are right. I tell you why. You cannot be born in a Brahmana family unless you have a sattva-guna activities last life. In other words, you have to act like a Brahmana before in order to take birth in a Brahmana. I cannot do rajoguna activity, passionate activities, and take birth in a sattva-guna. Not possible. Every action has the same and opposite reaction. In karma-kanda, this is what it is, boils down. That means they must have done a lot of pious activities in previous life in order for them to come to this birth in this family. Exception is there. Within 5-10 minutes you will read that exception is there. So, in that sense, those who are born in a Vaishnava family, Gurukulis, they may think they are Hare Krishna devotee already. But if they did not accept the philosophy and they don't chant, Prabhupada says the facility is there. Gurukuli facility is there. The Brahmana birth facility is there. Your parents are, Prabhupada gave an example. If your father is a doctor, from childhood you learn it. What is the doctor mean? Some idea already there. He treats the patient and he will say, oh, today one patient was like this, I treated. So you are growing up with hearing what is the, some kind of facility is there. Facility is there, that doesn't mean you are doctor. Well, I know everything about doctor. You put a tie, you put a stethoscope, you go to car and you go to the hospital and you know, a lot of medicine is there, you prescribe some. That's not doctor. Doctor means they have to be educated, he has to pass the bar, medical bar, there's so much. And he has to act, he has to be fully internship with under another doctor, so many things required. Training required, and he has to act. So similarly, the Brahmana, those who are born in a Brahmana family, or Krishna conscious family, but they have to, this facility is there, but they have to take it. They have to get trained. Training means, Prabhupada quoted this, sama, dama, tapa, saucham, khanti, arjavam, eva, cha, jnana, vijnanam, astikam, brahma, karma, svavajam. This 10 things, that has to be there. In Bhagavad Gita, this verse is there. Sama, dama, tapa, saucham. That they have to be trained and they have to be educated then. Those who are trained and act as a Brahmana, they are called Svabhav Siddha. Those who are just born as a Brahmana but not acting as a Brahmana, but they claim they are as a Brahmana, they are called Jata Siddha. They are smarter. So there is always conflict between these two. Always conflict. Always. You know, one time they asked Prabhupada, what kind of Brahman? Brahman is supposed to be more fair skin, but you are brown. Prabhupada says, I am very special. Because they just, it is also there. In Upaveda it is mentioned, that's true. But that doesn't mean everybody has a fair skin is a Brahman. You follow? But Prabhupada, to keep him quiet, he said, I am a special Brahman. But that's not the qualification of Brahmana. Otherwise, all the Chinese dog eater, they will be also Brahmana, if you think like that skin. But it is mentioned in the Veda, you know what I mean? Some idea to give. But that's not the definition or qualification of Brahmana. That has to be understood. If I read it. Shanti Rajya Manivacha Jena Vijnana Vastikam Brahma Karma Svavada.
Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness, these are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work.
Yeah. So Brahmana means they have to have these qualities. Do you see with Bani Madhav this? You don't see it, we just read. But yet when he went near Navadvip, he saw all these ladies coming and offering so many things to the Vaishnavas. What did he do? Oh, this is Kali Yuga. It's supposed to be for me. And these Vaishnavas are eating our things. He's thinking this is Kali Yuga because he's not getting. Who is he? He thinks he is the Brahmana. But not by qualification, he's already an MBA. But by birth. But there's pride, so much pride. They don't give up. Very difficult. I saw if you haven't faced in America, but in India they can be very fanatic. They literally can be very fanatic. They become like this. There was a lot of objection, even Prabhupada mentioned that objection came when they initiate Western boys and girls into this deity worship and other. Objection came to Prabhupada. Objection came. Even one Ramanuja Sampradaya, one devotee, he even asked Prabhupada, why are you giving this young boy, sannyas, he's just a young Western body, he doesn't have any. What if he fell down? He may not last even more than 15, 10, 20 years. Prabhupada says, first of all, when one should get sannyas? Before he dies. Prabhupada says, you have a guarantee when he'll die? It's finished, doomed. Prabhupada defeats, like, you know, with your own coming point. Prabhupada is so genius, he defeats. So, you don't know when he's going to die, so why you say I did wrong? Well, he's Western. I said, in your life, Prabhupada, so practical. He said, in your life, how much preaching you will do to please the Lord, he will do it in 10 years. Is it what? We may say, you know, so many sannyasi fell down. But when Prabhupada gave sannyas them, they have done so much service. Prabhupada knew very well behind every devotee's power, how much they can be empowered and act. And they did. In entire life, this person, he comes from a Ramanuja Sampradaya. He was talking to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, in entire life, what preaching you will do, this boy from America will do in 10 years. And he did. I won't mention the name, but he did. More than that. More than 22 years. So Prabhupada knew very well how much service they can do. They can push this movement very quickly. And Krishna will count this. Krishna will not forget this. How much he tried to please God. So like that. So this is very important. So there are two types of Brahmana. We understand this common. You will hear many lectures, Prabhupada quoted this again and again and again. Now another fine point I'm going to mention. This is very important. If somebody is born in a meat-eating family, how he is eligible to Brahmana? Prabhupada repeated this. Jata kanchanatam jati kamsa rasa vidhanata. This verse, Prabhupada quoted this many times, by Sanatana Goswami Pad explains this, that as we have to know first thing, how one takes birth in a Brahmana family, what did I say? Previous life. Previous life, he must be Brahmanical activities in order for him to take birth in. The previous life, when he was a Brahmana, he had a physical body and subtle body, yes or no? Okay. In his physical body, he was acting as a Brahmanical activities, and that physical body died? Okay. What body the soul carried? Subtle body, mind, intelligence. Think about this. This is so nicely Prabhupada explained. Very scientific. Because you will face in your life when you preach, and you have to first convince yourself, that's why Prabhupada is repeating this, and we can make them understand. Subtle body carried that soul to be born in this life in the Brahmana family. Yes? Now he is born in a Brahmana family. But association of the material modes, if this person did not practice Brahmanical activities now, is he Brahman anymore? So why? Prabhupada giving also a very nice logic. Why? And if you want to write, you can write down the number. Fifth canto, first chapter, 35 text. You read very nicely Prabhupada gives scientifically. But I haven't finished. I want to go through the whole thing thorough, just 5 minutes. So we'll grasp it. You follow? Subtle body from last life, Brahmanical activity, gave him birth this life in a Brahmana. Yes? If he does not practice brahmanical quality, she just read, satta, sama, dama, tapa, saucham, khanti, arjama, mevacha, peacefulness, the controlling of the senses. If he does not develop all these things, he is no more Brahman. Why? Because the subtle body is the cause of the what body? Physical body. You follow? So previous subtle body made him into physical body of this Brahmana birth. But if subtle body now is not practicing God consciousness, his subtle body is going down, he is this physical body of birth in a Brahman family has no value. Everybody understood this? It makes sense? It's very scientific, Prabhupada explained. Now, somebody was born in a meat-eating family. Let's come on the other side, okay? How somebody is born in a beef-eating family? Same philosophy Prabhupada applied. Must have done some kind of sinful activity to be born in a beef-eating family. Okay? It's a sinful last life, subtle body carried and gave another birth in the sinful. Now, that person came to Krishna consciousness. And he consciously accepting this philosophy and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and accepted initiation. This is Prabhupada's point, initiation. He accepted an authority, Vaishnava authority like Prabhupada. He accepted Srila Prabhupada. And under Prabhupada's guidance, he is now chanting, he is engaged in devotional service. What happened to his subtle body now? His mind, his ego, false ego is no more false ego. When you surrender, 18 chapter 60 verse, I believe, Machitta sarvadurgani mat prasadat tarishyasi ata chitta hankarat nasusyasi binakshasi. False ego is where you don't hear about Krishna. You hear Krishna, that is not false ego. So if we are interested to hear Krishna, where is the false ego? No false ego. If I don't want to hear Krishna, then false ego is there. Very sweet. And by the mercy, Krishna says, you will cross over all obstacles just by hearing about him. It's very important. So now let's come back to this one. Somebody born in a meeting family, joined to Hare Krishna society, now he accepted Srila Prabhupada as his shelter. And under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, he is chanting and engaged in devotional service. What happened to his mind? Chanting, engaged in devotional service. Yes? Then what happened to his false ego? His listening Harikatha? Gone. Then what happened to his material intelligence? Backing by the Shastra, it is transforming to spiritual intelligence. So what happened to his subtle body? This is very scientific, Prabhupada explained. What happened to his subtle body? Brahmana, pure Brahmana. Vaishnava is better than pure Brahmana, is Vaishnava. So is he pure Brahmana now? So long he is chanting and engaged in devotional service, is he a pure Brahmana? What happened to his meat-eating body, physical body? Has no value. You follow? Why? Because subtle body controls the physical body. Can one explain to me what Prabhupada says? This is very important. Otherwise you will have this understanding maybe somewhere mistaken. Why Krishna consciousness devotee, maybe they were meat eater, maybe they come from a slaughter house owner, family, whatever. But as long they are Krishna conscious, they are as good as pure Brahmana or better. Why? Can you explain? Try. You want to try? Yeah? Try. If you don't try, you won't get it.
Yeah.
Give both examples.
Okay, so if you're born into a family of meat eaters, then your mind, your intelligence, your subtle mind, everything is all
subtle body.
Sarabhari, yeah, is all in the consciousness of the meat eating business. So you're, and but then you can change. So you can change. So then, if you become Krishna conscious, even though you're in this particular body and you have this particular subtle intelligence,
that's getting you from last life.
From the last life, okay. So if you then become Krishna conscious, you're chanting the Maha Mantra and you're doing devotional service, then in your next lifetime you'll take...
Not next life. This life, now.
Okay.
This is important. Not next life, you are better. Now. If you become devotee
so
now.
Yeah. Even though you're born a family of meat eaters, if you're chanting now and then surrendering to Prabhupada...
Ask that question. What happened to your mind? Subtle body is made of mind, false ego, false intelligence. What happened to your mind? It's engaged in devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
And chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And what happened to this false intelligence?
The false intelligence goes away, has no bearing.
Because we are accepting spiritual intelligence.
Yes.
Okay, what happened to your false or material senses? Engaging to honoring prasadam, dancing, chanting.
Right, you're engaged in Krishna service. So okay. Now you become, you can be a pure Brahmana now.
Very good.
In this lifetime.
Very good. Mm. Or more, or better.
Mm-hmm.
We are not, our goal is not pure Brahman. Our goal is to become servant of the Krishna, Bhagavan. So like, everybody understood this concept? Now what is the fault of the other caste Brahmanas? Somebody?
They believe that the qualification.
Give an explanation how somebody takes birth in the Brahman.
Somebody takes birth.
Transmigration.
Somebody.
You know transmigration of the soul?
Yeah.
How it takes place?
Somebody takes birth in a family of Brahmins by their previous pious activities. In other words, they acted like a Brahmin in their past life, and since their subtle body is engaged in since their intelligence and their ego and their mind are engaged in the activities of a Brahmin, they take birth in the mode of goodness as in a Brahmin family.
Good.
But Prabhupada gives the example.
So stop there. The physical body has no value. You are Brahmana by the subtle body carrying you. And physical body only manifests the activity. But subtle body is the carrying, the soul, where to go, what to act. Okay. Keep going.
Prabhupada says, though, that one who takes birth as a Brahmin isn't a Brahmin. He has to step up to the qualifications. He has an opportunity to become a Brahmin because he, from the start of life, has the association of a Brahmin. It's like a doctor's son is associated from the very beginning with a doctor, with his father. You know, he hears about the activities of a doctor and things like that. It doesn't make him a doctor. He has to make the conscious choice, take advantage of his position and to practice being a doctor, to practice being a Vaishnava, a Brahmin, in order to actually be a Brahmin. And so the qualification isn't based on birth.
Mother Bhandana, can you tell me if somebody born in a meat-eating family, how he is as pure Brahman, worshipable by the other human being? You have to give scientific breakdown, how Prabhupada subtle body, because this is very important.
His subtle body brought him to that situation in the Mithikin family due to his sinful activity in his past life. But because, as we explained before, the physical body itself is not what has the value. It's the subtle body made of mind, intelligence, and false ego that's carrying the soul to different situations. So in this present life, in his meat-eating family, in this meat-eating situation, he still has the choice with his free will to choose to do something different. And if he comes in contact with Vaishnavas and chooses to associate with them and then surrenders to a pure devotee and takes initiation and starts chanting Hare Krishna and hearing and following devotional service, his subtle body is going to start to change. And his intelligence will become spiritualized. His ego will disappear because he's learning a different ego, that I am servant of Krishna, not the body. and his mind there becomes also self-dissolved. And in that way he becomes a pure Brahman.
Thank you. That's very good. Okay. Now we got to read more. Did you get it? So far you understood? Because you will face in your, if you go to Kinada, many countries, if you go there, they literally feel like the Western cannot be worshipable. Even this doctor, anybody were in Mother Jayagauri's house one time, I asked this lady, she's very educated, Indian, Hindi. I said, if some Western body has so much dedication to Prabhupada and Krishna, can you wash his feet and drink that water? Versus, there is an Indian, last name is a Brahman, and can you wash his feet? Will there be any difference between the Western body who is practicing, dedicating, and Indian body who is not practicing, but his last name is Brahman? She was so nice, she was honest. She said, I don't know, my mind is disturbed. I cannot drink the water from the Western body. That was nice, she was honest. Then I had a long talk. This is very, very difficult. Sometimes it's like a ignorance fanaticism. So Madhvacharya says, any new idea to a new fight, because they are blind followers, that's what they think, new idea. So most of the very Arjo Samaj and others, they think this Krishna consciousness idea of Brahmana, the worshipping another, is nothing but they don't accept what they think. It's some concoction, some made up. Because they do not know the cause and effect. What causes what? What effect? What subtle body is the cause for the physical body? Subtle body carries. So if subtle body becomes Krishna conscious, automatically you are Krishna conscious. I may have a tilak, Kantimala, all the Vaishnava dress, but if I am not inside, my mind is not Krishna conscious, then it takes long time. So subtle body is very, very important. Physical body also important, because if you practice, then it becomes a habit. If we bow down, like Prabhupada told to Garga Muni Maharaj, he didn't want to bow down, Prabhupada said, just do it. If you keep doing it, it will become a habit. If you bow down, automatically your physical body, okay, you see the deity or situation, okay, bow down. It's nice. Your mind may not be like bowing down, but still it is good. Practice is good, but conscious practice is more important. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, Krishna said, in chapter 12, he says, whatever practice you do, it is good. But if you absorb your intelligence in the practice, then it is more higher. Why? Why it is more higher? Very good. You're catching it. Yeah. Very good. Something. What is that verse? Yeah. No. What is the verse?
Prayo hi.
Shreya bhasha.
Jnanam abhyasat. Jnanam jnanam visyate.
Jnanat karma phalo tega tega santi nirantaram. That's right. Thank you. Sevi jnanam abhasat, jnanat dhenam visishyate. Sevi jnanam, that Krishna says that practicing is very good. Abhasa yoga yuktena cetasana anna gamina. That if you keep on practicing, it will become a habit. It's good. But he says here that if you absorb intelligence, then your practice is more important. More important absorbing intelligence than just practicing. One devotee was attacked in Alachua in the middle of the night by two guys. This is a true story. I won't mention the name. But one devotee, he was a devotee. I mean, he's a devotee. He was attacked by, through the window, some two guys came to rob him or something, I don't know. But he grabbed his neck. One guy grabbed his neck, another guy is searching the house. They're trying to get something. And then after a while, something happened, the other guy said, let's go. And then they jumped back again through the window. Couple years back, here in Alachua. So next day when he called, I asked him, when did you think of Krishna? As soon as you saw somebody grab your neck, you were lying down? Or he said, to be honestly, when they were about to leave, then he said, oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But why he did not think when he grabbed him? What did he do? He said, I was thinking how to escape from it. What can I do to escape from it? What can I do? How to do? So practicing is good, but intelligence was not absorbed in practice. Why we chant? What is Hare Krishna Mahamantra? The practice is good, but intelligence in the practice is more important. And he said, if you absorb your intelligence, then what will happen? You can meditate on him. So if you want to meditate on Krishna, you have to absorb intelligence in your practice. And when you meditate, what will happen? Dhenat karma phalate gat. What the verse says? Dhenat karma phalate gat. From dhyan, from meditation, all the bad impression you have in your heart, karma, follow. What causing us in this world going round, 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 will be destroyed. If that is destroyed, then what? Enat karma follow tegat, tegat shanti nirantaram. Shanti nirantaram, Prabhupada put word to word means uninterrupted, you will be peaceful. It is required. One must become a peaceful before you start a pure devotional service. Brahmaputra stage is compulsory. It is not an exception. One must become very peaceful before pure devotional service began. Then after pure devotional service began, then again you are disturbed. But that time transcendental disturbance. It's not material. There is a big difference. That time you are busy, how to please the Lord. You are like busy for preaching, you are busy of how to make everybody Krishna conscious. Big difference. But in between there is a state, material world busy, your mind disturbed, and slowly, slowly your mind is absorbing, your intelligence is absorbing on your activities, why you chant, who is Krishna, I must please Prabhupada, I must please Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why I should please this Annavilasi Dasindam. You try to understand this, and then when you absorb, then you will be able to hold. Prabhupada even says in Nectar of Instruction, text 8, how it breaks down that meditation is required. You hold 12 minutes. Just think of you're sitting in front of Prabhupada. Can you think? Look at him and just close your eye for 12 seconds. After looking at him, 12 seconds, see if he can hold it. And if you hold it for a while, then it will go, something else comes. But if your intelligence is absorbed, that he is a pure devotee, is thinking of him who is thinking of Krishna all the time. Who is Prabhupada? Full Krishna consciousness. This is important. Prabhupada is not just Indian body. Prabhupada means he is complete Krishna consciousness. Always absorbed in Krishna. How to please Krishna. This is very nice. If you just think like this, that who is so absorbed in Krishna, then your intelligence will become absorbed. Yeah, meditate. After a while, what will happen if you meditate on the Lord? In the heart, you have karma fall. The result, piling up all the, what you're going to meet in this life. All will be finished, destroyed. Like garbanja bean. You know garbanja bean? They're tasty when you fry it. But if you, after you fry, you throw it in the Garbhanja bean, one of the seeds that sprouts very quick. You throw it today, maybe in 3 days you will see sprout coming. It's so quick. But once you fry it, and then you eat it, then what happens? You feel good. So when you fry it and you throw it to grow, it never grows. So your karma means you will still see the karma in your life. It will unfold, but there is no reaction. There is no reaction. Sarpa patali prakhata dhamstrayate. Prabhupada quote this verse of Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. Tridasa pura akasa puspayate durdanta indriya kala sarpa patali prakhata dhamstrayate. This kala sarpa, this karma idea separately from God idea is like a poisonous tank of its snake. But if you take the poisonous teeth out, the snake will not give up, Prabhupada says, biting tendency. Snake is like a bond, that body is like always want to bite. But if you take the poison teeth out, what happened? You're still biting, but what happened? There's no effect, poisonous effect. Yeah. But it will still bite you, you follow? Like you feel like still you are involved with the material world, you are still like enjoying the material world, but there is no effort. You are liberated. It's very important. That time, when you come to that stage, Vishyam Purna Sukhayati, that time you see the whole world is very happy, peaceful, because it belongs to Krishna, there is a perfect. Can you imagine? Pushkar Prabhu said one time, Prabhupada in New York, he said, I love to be in the field of Maya, to fight with Maya, to preach in New York. He saw Vaikuntha in New York. How many people saw Vaikuntha in New York? But Prabhupada is just Vaikuntha. But that's not an imagination, this is reality, factual, because their perception is so advanced. So, yes, sir.
That before you can do
actual
service,
pure devotional service.
Pure devotional service. I mean, I thought that that's purified itself, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that maybe you come into it and you become initiated and then you become, then you start chanting and then your mind becomes peaceful. But you're saying more like peaceful comes first. Or maybe I misunderstood.
Well, when you take initiation, Prabhupada says you are entering into eternity. Exactly what Prabhupada says. You are entering into eternity. Then it's like entering into a school. And then you have to study. You have to practice. You have to engage in devotional service. You have to keep on going. And then examination will come. Test will come. You have to pass.
Really?
So then when your heart becomes clean, that stage is called santo. Very clean. Santo means you don't have, you know, like a little child, he sees no enemy, no friend. For him it doesn't, he's just playing with the toy. If there is an enemy person or friend, for him it's like he doesn't have it, that discriminating, it's like innocent. Those who are very advanced, for them also they see everybody belongs to Krishna, they don't see anything. You are very peaceful. In a sense, like you never get disturbed. You have an equal vision to everyone. Because you see everybody is a servant of Krishna. You don't have a hankering. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. You come to a point where 8 symptoms, today we'll discuss actually in a couple of pages. 8 symptoms are there, and you can check. You make the eight, you write it down in your notebook, 8 symptoms. See if I'm liberated. Check every day, see where you are. Prabhupada gives this in Bhagavatam, also here in Bhagavatam. So you see that if you have these 8 symptoms, then you are liberated. Liberated means pure devotional service began after that. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, no suchati, no kangsuti. You're not hankering, you're not lamenting. You're not hankering, you're not lamenting. So you see everybody is equal. So you see a cow, Vidya Vinay Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Haktini, that's also in Bhagavad Gita. Vidya Vinay Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Haktini, Sunicha Iva Sapakecha Pandita Asama Darshi. Pandita, you become a Pandit, spiritualized person, that you see a cow, a Brahmana, an elephant, a dog, and dog eater, they are all equal. How they are all equal? Because they have a Krishna in the heart of all, and they all belong, they all are servant of Krishna. Now, when you are hungry, and you see a cow, and a dog, and dog eater, an elephant, you don't go to a dog to get the milk. Try to understand. You are peaceful, you are seeing everybody equal, doesn't mean you lost your discriminating power. Well, everybody is equal. Let's, I'm hungry now, I need some milk to offer and drink. Let's get the dog to drink the milk. No, you don't go to dog, you go to cow. You follow. You see elephant, cow, all are equal, that doesn't mean equal in a sense like this. You lost your discrimination power. Make sense? Because there are some spiritual, so-called spiritualized person in this world. I don't like to mention their name. They promote mercy, mercy, mercy so much, especially in America, it's so famous. But when they asked him a question, why you eat beef, meat? He said, whatever they give, I take. What happens, he's saying, he doesn't have a discrimination power. There is not Pandit. There is not mercy in him. He's causing another cow to be killed. That is not Pandit. There has to be some understanding of it. Is that okay? Then after that peaceful, then pure devotional service begins. Before that, devotional service is mixed with the mood. If there is a little more pressure of the service, I don't feel excited. But after liberation, little more seva comes, very excited. Big difference.
Yeah, so one final thought. So what I'm reading is that basically, until you surrender to someone, Krishna, your spiritual master, until that happens, you're really not going to, you could chant till you're blue in the face, it really won't matter much because...
Well, eventually...
I mean, it's good, but it's not, you're not going to make the progress you would make if you are surrendered.
Correct. Correct. That is true. Surrender is the entrance to spiritual world. Surrender has to be there. But Prabhupada actually make a very little distinction that it's easier to surrender to a pure devotee than surrendering to Krishna. It is the same thing. Surrendering to pure devotee means surrendering to Krishna. But pure devotee means they are relative truth. They are in a position where they can reciprocate with you, they can speak in English, you have access, so many. They can understand you. But to speak with the Lord is not that easy in the beginning stage. Yeah. Well, Krishna
Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most merciful, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most merciful nature you will not see through him. You will see through Nityananda Prabhu. And Prabhupada is very, very heavy on this world. Giriraj Maharaj mentioned early days in Bombay how they complain about one of his disciples doing something not proper, and Prabhupada says that if it does not stop smoking, then I reject him. So then they informed him that Prabhupada will reject you if you don't stop smoking. So Prabhupada was heavy, and then he came back. So then they asked him, "Will you really reject if he didn't come?" Prabhupada said, "Of course not, but I have to say it so that he's correct." But something else Prabhupada said at that time. There is never end. There is no end of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. Kamala Krishna Maharaj gave another example. That one devotee, I think it was the Chaitanya He was with Prabhupada for a while and then he left and he joined to some big bogus guru. And he was with him and trying to get donations from rich Indians and doing all kinds of things. Prabhupada was present in Bombay. And Kamalakrishna Maharaj was pressuring Prabhupada in a sense that please write a letter to all those life members. Don't give him money, don't give him any facility. Prabhupada said, no, don't do that. But 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, then Kamalakrishna Maharaj was again eating. But Prabhupada did not agree. After some time passed by, they asked him, Prabhupada, this is going out of limit. He's going, every big man that gave donation to us, he's going on giving donation for this bogus guy. So at the end, it was very nice, because Prabhupada knew. So Prabhupada, when they were a little upset, Kamalakrishna Maharaj said, when he was not happy, then Prabhupada said, there is no end of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. I cannot withdraw mercy from him. And not possible. So Prabhupada was most compassionate, merciful person. He said, there is no end of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. Of course, end of this pastime is that Prabhu came back and cried at the lotus feet of Prabhupada and asked for forgiveness. So of course Prabhupada knew that once, but we have to learn how to tolerate you like that. Like Prabhupada did. There is no end of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. There is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, but he wanted to exhibit to Nityananda and to Prabhupada. That's why sometimes we give more importance to Prabhupada than even Lord himself. I mean, today you will read Aggata Sukriti. Now, Aggata Sukriti means you did something, you have to remember the material Sukriti, material pious activity, and spiritual pious activity are not same. You'll read very soon. But to demonstrate, just to remember, any activity supporting to the eternal function of the Lord, you follow eternal function. Is this Krishna consciousness topic is eternal? Yes. Chanting is eternal. Serving the Lord is eternal. Serving the Vaishnava is eternal. Anything activities that connected with transcendental and eternal, that support. If somebody gives donation, somebody bought prasadam in Santa Fe, they distribute prasadam. These are eternal sukriti. They don't know. They are not thinking eternal on it. They are thinking like, instead of going to another restaurant, I just buy Hare Krishna prasadam, food. But they are getting eternal pious credit. This is. But sometimes, like they don't know, so this is called aggata, means they don't know. But sometimes, pure devotee is so powerful, he can make even non-eternal substance by his mercy. That's why Prabhupada says that I came to make you all fortunate. Like look at this in Ratha Jatra. If hot dog can be used for anything Krishna consciousness? No. No. Well, nobody, even Vaishnava, is not usable. But in Ratha Jatra, when Prabhupada was sitting in a corner on the chariot, and people are so emotional that everybody was dancing, karmis. It was like unbelievable. Some people started crying. They were so emotional. Niranjan Maharaj was explaining also beautiful pastime there. That anyway, at one point, when Ratha Jatra stopped, people like came to give some donation to Prabhupada. One man is so poor, homeless guy. He was eating hot dog one hand, another hand he had a hot dog. That's all he had. He doesn't have any other money. So he felt like so, you know, overwhelmed to give something to Prabhupada. That's all he had. He gave the hot dog. And this Maharaj said, oh, no, shoot. Prabhupada said, that's all right. Just take it and put it aside. Of course, later on they throw it. But Prabhupada was showing his compassionate nature because this man wants to give. He doesn't know what to give, what not to give. We cannot practice this. I'm not saying anybody should practice that. But Prabhupada, out of extreme compassion, he just gave him the... Now, toilet paper you can use. for the toilet. Like in New York, the homeless guy came and gave a toilet paper. And Prabhupada said, this man has no idea. He just come from outside. He just brought a toilet paper and put it in the toilet for the devotee and then he left. But he got a pious credit. We can use that. But even something you cannot use, only Prabhupada could make that person. That's very extremely rare. So like this. Okay, we go on more.
Vani Madhava.
What page we are?
297 in the top. Vani Madhava. He is not an honest man. He will be humble and polite for 2 or 4 days. That is how he will bring you under his control. Then he will be able to make you do what he likes. In the way you act, the Bhattacharyas of Bela Kukura have become your bitter enemies. Consulting among themselves, they have sent Brajanatha to you. You are an old man. You should take care. From time to time, I will come and tell you of their plot. Don't tell anyone about me. If you tell them, it will not be good for you. Now I must go. After speaking this
What is duplicity? It's criticizing Brajanath to this Babaji and creating a scenery, artificial scenery. It doesn't exist, but it's creating. Who is Brajanath? Those people send him. Is making this whole thing is like a plot. Okay.
After speaking these words, Vani Madhava returned to his own home. After finishing his lunch, Vani Madhava went to Brajanath and said, "Brother, today I went to Mayapur on business. There I saw an old Vaishnava. Perhaps he was your Raghunatha Das Babaji."
Did he come up with this idea? Because he heard the weakness. You remember the weak point he says? Because he doesn't want to get married. Brajanath doesn't want to get married. Why? Because he's associating with the devotees and is creating detachment to this world. He doesn't feel like to get involved anything in life. He wants to do Hari Bhajan, chanting. Okay.
There I saw an old Vaishnava. Perhaps he is your Raghunatha Das Babaji. As I talked with him, the thought of you came up. He used a very bad word to describe you, a word one should not use for a Brahmana. At the end he said, "I will make Brajanath eat the remnant from the plants of 36 low caste people. In that way,
Now you look at this. This is very horrible. Did Babaji tell him to say anything or did Babaji do anything?
No.
It has nothing to do. He's just creating another story. Why somebody does this? You'll face this type of people. Why they do this? No. They think you will be favoring. You'll feel like clothes. This whole world is running by this. This country wants to be favored to that country, this resort. This whole world is running like this, and they have like a gossip on it. But if it is handled with the Vaishnava, they have to be very careful. Because there is a reaction. We'll see that.
I will make Brajanatha eat the remnants from the plates of 36 low caste people. In that way, I will destroy all the Brahmanas. If panditas like you stay with such people, then no one will ever respect the Brahmana pandita. Brajanath was very surprised to hear all these words of Vani Madhava. There was no knowing why the firm faith he had in the Vaishnavas and the devotion he had for the elderly Babaji suddenly became doubled. Brajanatha said, "Brother, today I am very busy. Please go home and in the time I will think about what you said." Vani Madhava went home. Brajanatha knew well that Vani Madhava was double-hearted. Brajanatha had been involved in Yaya logic, but he did not like dishonesty. Now he could see why Vani Madhava offered to help him take sannyas. He could understand Vani Madhava's crooked reason for speaking favorably about sannyas. As he
once, please have a seat. They will open the DD at 8:50. So it's about 20 minutes.
As he thought about it, he concluded that Vani Madhava must have something to gain from this marriage, and Vani Madhava must have gone to Mayapur to do something to further his crooked plot. In his thoughts, Vrajanatha prayed to the Supreme Lord, "O Supreme Lord, please give me a strong faith in my spiritual master and in the Vaishnava. Let it not diminish because of the misdeeds of cunning men." As he thought about this thing, the day came to an end. With an agitated heart, he went to Srivasa's courtyard at dusk. After Vani Madhava had left, the saintly elderly Babaji thought, "That man is a Brahmana Rakshasa. The scriptures declare in the Kali Yuga, Rakshasas take birth in the families of Brahmanas."
Why? Why Rakshasa, demonic nature, will take birth in a Brahmana family or Vaishnava family? Hold on. That's mercy of the Lord. Mercy of the Lord. Pure mercy. How it is pure mercy? A demon or rakshasa will never chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. But Mahaprabhu is very merciful. That if he allows a big demon to be coming in a family of a Brahmana or Vaishnava, what the mother does from childhood, feed prasadam, take him to temple, maybe a big rakshasa, but in this life is bowing down to Prabhupada. How many times? As many times he comes to temple in his house, you follow? How much sukriti he is getting? Unlimited. And he started chanting, he started dancing, he is getting some kind of taste. When he grows big, maybe his old impression come back, he may be leaving and going away, doing some abominable activity. But what he got, eternal function, try to understand this. This sukriti that I say, it's like an impression, imprint. It ever happened to you something like, you're seeing something and you don't know about it, then somebody explains, "Oh, all of a sudden you remember, like, yeah, it makes sense, I remember that." You follow? These are called impression. Impression means what stimulates your intelligence to guide yourself. Impression is like a Pushkar Prabhu when he draw, or Mother Gandharvika, when she does the painting, first thing what they do, you know, rough sketch. They change it a little bit, they do rough sketch. So this rough sketch, even though it's not a painting, but it is required. Those are called impressions. Nobody sees, but you are already building a lot of imprint inside the heart. Then when one stage of pure Krishna consciousness will come, everything will be like, wow, oh wow, beautiful painting. It was there before because the impression is building. So every time we chant, every time we take prasadam, every time we understand this philosophy and agree and try to surrender to Guru Krishna, try to surrender to Prabhupada, then these are called impression, building, 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 building. Srila Prabhupada says, don't be surprised if somebody just joins and immediately advances. Means it should be understood, should not be envious, should be understood what? That previous life, that person already advanced. Now he's starting where he left. He may be joining just yesterday, but he could be very quick running. Because he already did so much work last night. Those are called impressions. So everything we do in spiritual life, nothing ever lost. Nothing ever lost in spiritual life. I may not remember, you know, what I heard 30 years back or 20 years back. Some nice devotee told me so many past time, I don't remember. But when time comes, everything is there, stored. Where is the evidence? Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter. Vyasdev asked this question to his guru, Narad Muni. How do you remember so many your past life, what happened, how did you die? He remembers how did he die. He saw lightning and illumination same time. He gave up that body of Dashiputra and got a Narad Muni, beautiful body, same time. And he remembers everything. You will become like this. We all will become like this. Nothing is lost. Whatever you heard, whatever you chanting, everything we do in spiritual practice, everything is there. So Narad Muni says, I remember everything because it is all there. How? Soul never dies. Body dies. Krishna consciousness, philosophy, chanting Hare Krishna, also same like soul, eternal. Prabhupada nicely explained. So Narad Muni says, just like this knowledge is eternal. Material knowledge, when you die, finish also. You have a PhD, MD, whatever, big, you have a degree. As soon as death comes, everything is finished here. You are a billionaire maybe, next life, you start from scratch, penny. Lucky if you get penny. You have to start hard to earn. But spiritually, everything we gain, nothing lost. Nothing lost. One time Srila Prabhupada, just to make this point very clear, he said, if you finish up to 27%, next life you start from 28%, exact number, he said. If you finish in this life 27%, next life you start from 28, not 1 to 27 again. No, you always start from 28. It's so nice. Can you imagine that kind of bank? It will only grow, never come down. It's very important that we convince ourselves that everything we do in spiritual life, it is always there, always there. Maybe we don't have access to dig it right now because conditioned life, material modes. When time comes, you'll be surprised. Everything that you ever heard is all there. Everything you ever heard of material things disappear. When material things disappear, purva itihas bhulinu sakala seva sukha peye mane amita tumi to amar pitajo parodhane. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you start getting pain, you know, taste. Like a child is tasting candy, don't give up the candy. Similarly, when you taste the spiritual engagement, devotional service, that you feel happy. First, Prabhupada gave in, there's also verse in this chapter, Satam Prasangat Mama Vidya Sangita. If you break down Prabhupada's purport in that, 325-25, you will see that there is a gradual progression. First symptom of taste, what? You like to hear. You heard it yesterday. You heard Bhagavatam class. You heard Chaitanya, but you want to hear more. When you ask yourself, nobody else will see. If you see, yeah, I heard it, I want to hear more. That means Prabhupada said, the taste began. You may not see materially, it's not compared to candy or anything, it is a spiritual thing. It's very subtle. This is the first thing. Then, when you progress further, then you come to a second stage. What is second stage? Whatever the sadhu is saying, and you started believing. Before you did not catch, you follow? You didn't like it went away. It went 1 year, other year, but it didn't. Because you are interested to hear more, the second stage comes, you like to, what? Yes, heart is faith is building. You will act. Heart means what you heard from sadhu, not only you believing it, you will act. You know what, I'll never eat anything without offering. You will like take, nobody's telling you, you will take bow, because you heard the power of offering. Everything belongs to Krishna for his pleasure. Without his offering, I'm not going to. Doesn't matter if I'm dying, starving. I must offer otherwise. This kind of, this is gradual progression, 8 stages. Maybe a few pages, that's the page. More pages.
That man is seen in those words. He has pride of caste, pride even though he has nothing really to be proud about. He hates the Vaishnavas. He is a hypocrite, proudly waving the flag of piety while he sins. All these things are written on his face. His short neck, blinking eyes, and devious words all show what is in his heart. Ah, how pleasant and gentle is Bhagavan, and how much of a demon is this other fellow. O Lord Krishna, O Lord Garanga, please let me not associate with people like him. Today I will warn Bhagavan about him. Bhagavan entered into the cottage.
Okay, this is very nice though. So if you feel some association making you to forget Krishna, forget Prabhupada, you can pray to the Lord. My Lord, this kind of association, I forget you. Please don't give me this kind of association. Give me association that I never forget you. Give me association of those devotees that I always glorify you, I am engaged. This prayer is necessary. See, the Babaji, he's so advanced, but he's still praying. It's good to pray like this, you follow? So give me an association that I can think of you more. They remind me of you. Why I'm stressing? Because in our life we face sometimes. Some people come and disturb you so much. Instead of thinking of Krishna, you just now disturb for half an hour. You cannot even chant or do anything. Your mind is so disturbed. You can pray. It's no harm. It's part of bhakti.
Rajanath entered the cottage. The saintly elderly Babaji, his affection for Rajanath doubled, said, Come in, Baba, come in. Brace Rajanath. Tears flowing from his eyes, Rajanath kissed the dust of the Babaji's feet. Embarrassed, he could not speak. The saintly Babaji said, This morning, a dark complexion Brahman came here and spoke some very disturbing words. Do you know him? Rajanath, oh Master, you have explained to me that many different kinds of living entities live in this material world. Among all these living entities, some envious beings delight in troubling others. Among these envious beings, my cousin, I am embarrassed to call him my cousin, Vani Madhava is one of the foremost. If we do not talk about him, that will make me happy. The truth is that to you, he speaks bad things about me, and to me, he speaks bad things about you. He does this so we will think badly of each other, and our friendship will break. When you hear his words, do you not form an opinion in your mind?
Babaji, O Krishna, O Gauranga, for a long time I have served the Vaishnavas. By their mercy, I have a little power to tell who is a Vaishnava and who is not a Vaishnava. I have understood everything. You need not say anything about this, Rajanath. Let us forget all he has said. Please tell me, how is the soul released from my prison? Babaji, when you hear the seventh verse of the Dashamula, you will find the answer to your question. When a soul wandering from one species to another in the material world sees a Vaishnava filled with the nectar of devotion of Lord Hari, he becomes attracted to follow that Vaishnava. By chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna, that soul gradually renounces materialism. In the end, he regains his original spiritual form. In that form, he enjoys the pure and sweet nectar of the spiritual morals of direct service to Lord Krishna. Rajanath, I would like to hear.
And then after that, what will happen? That time you will get the genuine taste. then you will see his vision that you are covered with Krishna and his beautiful arrangements. Then that will not be finding you there. That what happens. Everybody remember this book? That's what we get from here.